So that was the video I made. We were doing a presentation on how the mission went and all that in Matsi. So that was the video that we made. So before we start, everyone, because I know you guys were praying for us, and and this wasn't just my involvement in mission. This was our involvement as a church, and thank you for all your prayers and all that. So I'm just going to read this piece of scripture. It's in Luke 4:18. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery for the blind. Recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So all of us, this piece of scripture includes all of us. You know, we're called to proclaim freedom. We're called to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Yeah. We're called to proclaim the freedom of Lord Jesus Christ. And that's basically what we've done in our mission in Wales. Obviously, you know, we had big expectations and all that, but our main priority was we were there to proclaim freedom that's found in Jesus Christ. So as you guys already seen the pictures in there, we went to lots of school assemblies, and what a privilege, I mean, going in schools and representing God. And I was absolutely blown away, to be honest with you. The schools in Wales, they believe in God. And we went to the school, and the headmaster, she was, the head principal, she was part of the church as well. So we ended up going to that school, and I mean, they were singing songs for us. They were singing, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." And I was absolutely blown away, and I was in tears, you know, it was really moving. It really gripped my heart. And I was hoping that for our schools in England as well, wouldn't it be great if we walk into schools and they're singing, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." And they're praying and stuff. It's absolutely amazing. And obviously it was the time of Easter, and we had a great privilege of really kind of sitting down with students, as there was a picture in there, sitting down with students, really kind of opening to them about what Easter is all about. Obviously, you know, we get this picture of Easter with Easter bunnies running around and Easter eggs and all that, you know, but there's more to just Easter eggs and more to just Easter bunnies. And obviously, like, being in there and really talking to them. And I mean, basically, we done a little quiz. It's more of a quiz. So we were doing a little thing where I would play a guitar, and I would strum a guitar as hard as I can, and while the message was getting preached, so my friend would preach a message, and out of nowhere, I'd just strum a guitar randomly. And as soon as I strum a guitar, all the students had to shout out, "Jesus cares about me," as loud as they can. And the first one who would shout as loud as they can and sit back and behave would get a chocolate. So everyone was listening to the message, and they were really, really, really listening to it because they wanted Easter eggs. You want Easter eggs, eh? Right, so we're going to do that in there as well. I'm just messing. No, we're not. I should have been more prepared, got some Easter eggs and all that, but sadly, Easter is gone. And the eggs as well. So we were there, and all the students, you know, they were really, really listening to the message. And obviously we were asking them, "So what is Easter for you?" And I mean, the answers were great. Some of the students, they were saying, Easter's a time where you spend time with your family. And other kids were saying, "Easter's time when you remember the death of Jesus Christ and the love of Jesus Christ." And I mean, these are about 8, 9 years old kids, students. And I mean, the answers were amazing. It really got my heart. And there were a few there who were talking about saying Easter's about eggs and all that, you know. But the answers were amazing. It was great. And it was really good to, like, open to them about Easter and open to them about God and all that. And obviously, we had lots of African sisters with us. We ended up doing lots of African songs, actions and all that. It was amazing. It was a great time. So that was school assembly. And we done prisons ministry as well. And I had the privilege of leading 3 teams. I was a team leader for prison ministries. So we ended up going to youth offenders. And I mean, we ended up going to probably one of the, it falls into the one of the biggest prisons in kind of UK kind of category. It was quite big. And there was about 1,100 prisoners there. Not in the meeting, but overall, 1,100 prisoners. And we ended up doing this youth kind of offenders meeting. And most of them, youngsters in there, you know, they don't want anything to do with God. They don't want to listen to God or anything. So we walked in there and we were just doing our meeting thing and we started our service. And we started singing songs and all that, you know. And my friend, as you saw in that video, he raps. So we were doing raps and all that, you know. And we got their attention. They were listening to us. And later, you know, my friend, he started writing his friend. He's from Nottingham. And he started sharing about his testimony. And he started sharing about God and all that. And that just gripped their hearts. And they were just listening to it in prison. And it was a great experience and great opportunity to speak into their youngster's life. And there was one lad from Doncaster, and he was from Intake actually, and he's in that prison, and he moved to Bristol, and really sitting down and talking to that youngster and really encouraging him. That was a great time as well. And we walked into this vulnerable section where people had been in there for like sex crimes and all that, you know, for murders and rapes and all them kind of stuff. So we walked in there, and I mean, the response was amazing. I preached on forgiveness. I preached on saying that God can forgive you, and use that scripture about Philippians. Don't look on your past, but press on towards the goal. And you know, that really got their heart. And I could see a guy in the back really wiping his eyes, you know, because he was crying and all that, you know. And that's what the Word of God has called us to do. Proclaim freedom. You proclaim freedom, God will do the rest. All of us, you know, we're called to proclaim freedom in everybody's life. Because everyone's in bondage, everybody. They might not look like they're in bondage, but everyone's in bondage. And they're hurting inside. And this other meeting in prison, I was leading worship. And obviously I was doing introduction, saying we're from Mattersea, this and all them kind of stuff. And we were leading worship. And I could just see this guy, you know, he was really big, massive guy, and he had tattoos all over his body, and he was proper like sitting back and really staring at me like the mama's deranged, you know. He's just really staring at me and stuff in prison, and I'm feeling really dead intimidated, because I felt as if he was going to say something, and I felt as if he was going to do something to me after the meeting. So I was like, oh God, what's going to happen? So I'm looking at the guy, and I'm trying to ignore the guy completely, so I'm looking at different people, but I could just catch him staring at me. So I'm leading worship, and I'm testifying and all that, and amazing thing happened at the end. We prayed and all that, and in the end, the guy walks up to me, and he goes, do you know what, cheers for that. He said, cheers for that, cheers for coming, and cheers for sharing amongst us. So, excuse me. So I ended up talking to the guy, and later, I found out that this guy is one of my mate's mate. Really? Yeah, so I ended up talking to this guy and really encouraging him. And I had the privilege of praying for him and all that, you know. And there was another guy in there, who was doing life sentence. And it was just amazing, you know, really, to talk to them and really see where they are and really proclaim freedom into their lives. That's the most powerful thing we could do. And that's what God's called us to do as well. Proclaim freedom, speak freedom into people's lives. And things start changing. You know, and so that was the prison ministry. And my highlight was youth ministry. Yeah. It was absolutely amazing. We walked into a youth club. And this was a youth club. Obviously, it was in a church, but it was a youth club. The lads in there, they didn't want to hear about God. They didn't want to talk about God. They didn't want to listen to God. They didn't want to do anything with God. You know? So we walked in there, and as soon as we walked in there, I could smell weed. And I'm like, oh dear, this is going to be one of them meetings. So I walked in there, and there's a bunch of lads kicking the ball in the church everywhere, and the youth leaders running, trying to grab the ball. And it was messed up, and it was getting really, really out of control, and I could see this youth leader getting frustrated and threatening the lads, saying, if you guys don't behave, I'm going to kick you out. So it was a really messy situation. So the lads, they got off from that room and they went to a different room, and they were messing with the PA system. So they were plugging in their phones and they were listening to music. And they were listening to rap music there. So rap, and I'm like, oh, I listen to a bit of rap and all that. So I walked in there and I could, and them lads, you know, they're looking at us and must be thinking, what's going on in there? Who's he? Kind of things, you know. So we walked in there and we just sat down with the lads and we're like, oh, so what's this you listening to? And the guy goes, it's Eminem, whatever it is. He's listening to Eminem. And later, like, he's listening to rap music and all that. So we started singing rap music together. And later I asked him, so would you guys listen to? And I said, do you guys listen to Ed Sheeran? He's one of the well-known pop artists at the moment. And they goes, yes. So I was looking for a guitar. I couldn't find a guitar. So there was a bass guitar in the corner. So I picked up the bass guitar, plugged it in, and me and my mate, we started singing together. So he was rapping, and I was playing guitar. And Ray might know him. He's Ryan. So it was me and Ryan. So Ryan's rapping, and I'm playing guitar. So we're doing it together. And one of the guys just looked at me, and he goes, so where did you guys come from? What's your story? So I goes, all right. So my name's Daniel and all that, you know. And I started sharing a bit of my story, and he goes, hold on, one second. So he goes around, and he gets all the lads in that same room. So I'm sitting in middle and Ryan's sitting next to me, and there's about 10 or 9 youngsters surrounding us. So I'm talking to them about life. I'm saying, so what you guys do and all that, and I'm sharing them about my life experience and where I was and what I was doing. And this point in time I wasn't like mentioning God or anything. And I looked around and I got their attention. Then I went, do you know what, guys? Let me just spiritualize a bit. If you guys don't know, I'm a Christian. And they're like, and I said, I'm a Christian. And I started sharing about how God changed my life. And I started challenging them, saying, do you know what, guys? You guys are enjoying with your life, smoking weed and doing whatever you're doing. And for me, it was the same as well. I started taking heavier drugs. And for me, the starting point was taking weed, and them boys were taking weed as well. So that really got their hearts again. And later, I just looked around, you know, and I could just see in their faces that they were kind of shook a bit. Do you know, I think what I was saying kind of shook them a bit. And I just could feel the presence of God in that place. And I just said, guys, can I just pray for you? Yeah. And obviously, they were from a gang, and their gang was called TAC or whatever. It was like a group, bunch of youngsters just gathering around and making gang names and all that. So I think it was TAC. So I said, guys, is it all right if I pray for you? And they went, yes. And I said, it's up to you if you want to close your eyes. It's up to you if you don't want to close your eyes. It's up to you. And guy looks at me and he goes, no, we want to close our eyes. So I goes, all right. So he closed his eyes and we prayed together. And I just said, Lord, thank you for this gang, and I thank you for TAC, and God, I just pray that you just do something in their life. I just started praying, and it was more of a prayer and petition. So whilst I was praying, I was sharing the gospel at the same time. Thank you for dying on that cross. Same time, you know, and later, we left that room, and them boys, they were like, thank you so much for coming and all that. And still now, them boys have added me on the Facebook group chat thing, the leaders from that chat, from that church. And before, it used to be a youth club. And now, you know, it's become a youth service where they come together and they just don't play games. They listen to each other and there's someone sharing the message every Friday night. And it's just amazing what God does. And, you know, the one thing I've learned from this mission was, as much as we want to be spiritual and all that, have a strategy. Because I believe that a strategy works hand in hand with the spirituality. Same with Jesus. Jesus sat with the sinners. Pharisees would have just walked into that place and said, whatever about, acted all religious and all that, and spiritual and all that. But what did Jesus do? Jesus not only was a spiritual man, but he had a strategy as well. So he would sit with sinners. He would mingle around with sinners, chat, general stuff. And I believe, you know, having a strategy in our mission does really make a difference. Because I can walk into a youth club and I can start acting all spiritual and all that, but that's not going to do anything. But what if I walk into an environment like that, and what if I grab their attention first And what if I get to know them first, then bring in the spiritual stuff? Your spirituality works hand in hand with your strategy. And the other thing was, we done an outreach, as we saw in that video. And in outreach, it was more of like going out on the streets and just, there was a platform there, like a little circle thing, and we just stood up in there, we just started singing songs and all that. And I testified and all that, and there was an African sister, and she was preaching, and it was just amazing. It was a great time. And I mean, personally, like, I think the worship time was really powerful there. There was lots of people walking past us and all that, and we were singing a Welsh anthem song, but it was nothing like the original lyrics. We changed the lyrics, but it was Welsh anthem song, but it was Welsh Christian anthem song. So same music, but different lyrics. And we were singing different songs, and people would just walk past us, and they would stand there and just look at us thinking, what's going on? And it was really powerful moment as well, like really ministering to people and all that. It was really powerful. And even the churches, we were hosted by a church called Passion Church. And their vision in Wales is, there's a ministry called Love Wales. And their vision is to get all the churches together and be one church. So obviously you've got different places and different churches and all that. But they would do a big meeting where they would just get all the different churches and they just work together as a church, kind of like planning their strategy on how we're going to reach out to people and how we're going to make a difference in different parts of Wales and all that. And it was really good to be part of that world, you know. And we ministered to lots of churches there, and it was just great. Like, really great time of worship there, and really great time of ministry. People were getting healed, people were getting saved, and I mean, there's just loads and loads of stuff that were happening. And it wasn't just what God was doing things around us, it was what God was doing things within us. It was a great challenge for me personally, because I'm the kind of guy, you know, where I would normally love to just spiritualize stuff, talk to someone, give them the gospel straight away. But in this mission, I learned something else as well. I learned that it's always good to have a strategy as well. So that was a big challenge for me as well. And I believe that it's been a growth in my understanding of evangelism and in my understanding of how God works through each and every individual. And I believe that as a church, you know, God has called us to proclaim freedom. God has called each one of us to proclaim freedom. And I would encourage each one of us, you know, as we carry on with our church life, you know, and there's a church life and there's outside church life as well. And in our outside church life, why not make a time where we just proclaim freedom to people? Just talk to people. I mean, my hobby is, I love music. So when I go around, what's the first thing I talk to people about? Music. I talk to them about music and get to know them and all that. And both, there we go, music with the gospel. Give them the gospel at the same time. And I mean, you guys might have hobbies like cooking and stuff like that. Go to somewhere where people love cooking food and talk to them about cooking food. Next thing you know, what do you do? Oh, I go to a church. I'm a Christian. There's the opportunity right there. And let me read that scripture again. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So what's the first thing that we do before anything else? We proclaim freedom. Do you know, we proclaim freedom. That is the only thing that God calls us to do, proclaim freedom. And when you start proclaiming freedom, do you know, you just see things happening around you. And when I say freedom, just, let's not just act all spiritual and all that, do you know. Let's be spiritual, not just act spiritual, be spiritual. You are spiritual. But rather than acting all spiritual, let's have a strategy and let's proclaim the Lord's freedom. Yeah. And through it all, you know, like, I just saw how God is interested in every individual, every little thing. You know, we went in there and it was just the case of that there is no exclusion in God. Everyone's included. Everyone. So it was more of like Jesus' ministry was very inclusive ministry. So he didn't care what their background were or where they come from. But the main thing was that Jesus was interested was to proclaim freedom. And in the same way, you know, when we done ministry in Wales, it wasn't the case of where they're coming from. It was just a case of proclaim freedom. Let's proclaim freedom. And that's pretty much what I wanted to share. And I could just add a lot there, you know, but like, it's been great. It's been absolutely amazing, the whole mission. And again, thank you for praying for us. And thank you for supporting us in your prayer. So I'm going to pass it on to Martin now.
No, I'd like to just start off with kind of thanking you as well as a church and as my home church as well, for praying for my mission trip, praying for us while I was away, but not only that, but praying for my sister as well, Kirsteen, who, you know, she wasn't well, and but she's on the mend. You know, God is good, and I believe, you know, that God is moving in her life, and so I really appreciate the prayers that you've been lifting up for her. So, but I went to Romania. There was a group of 17 of us who left from Battersea. We went to a place called Pelest, which is about an hour and a half from Bucharest. And I just want to read this bit of scripture out before I can share about the mission trip. So it's in Mark 16, verse 14. And I'll just read through, and it said, later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. So basically, we went to a church called Hope Church. That was our host church. And I've not got a presentation like Daniel had, so I feel quite bad. I feel a bit underprepared, but no, I've got my testimony. No, and it's about giving glory to God for... Yeah, just giving glory to God. And so as I said, we went to a church called Hope Church. Their focus as a church is reaching the lost. Their mission statement for the church is love God and love others. They preach a simple gospel. There's nothing fancy about the church. It's a wee building in kind of a ruined place in Romania. One of the first meetings we went to, when we arrived there on the Sunday, one of my friends preached. It was testimony. And I sat next to this homeless guy. It's a homeless church, basically. And I just felt God say to us, I want you to pray for him. I want you to speak to him. So the service finished. They'd done an altar call. Loads of people went up for salvation. There was maybe about 15 people that got saved in that meeting. There was an old guy there as well who had severe pains in his knees his whole life. So we laid hands on this old guy, and he was healed. He was healed. He started jumping around praising God. And every other meeting we went to, he was following us around. Do you know what I mean? Because he was so happy. He was just like, no, look, this stuff is real. No, it's real, this stuff. And so people gave their lives to the Lord. And no, and I got an interpreter, and I spoke with this guy that I felt the Lord wanted me to pray with, and he shared through the interpreter how broken he was, how lost he was through alcoholism, depression. He'd lost his family, and I was able to share a bit of my testimony. And that guy gave his life to the Lord, and I was able to give him a new Bible, Romanian Bible, and he was just so happy. He was overjoyed. And no, like this was the first meeting we went to. This set the tone for the rest of the mission trip. And so we went the next day. We went to an orphanage camp, which was a disabled orphanage camp. physically and mentally. And if you'd have seen the news years ago, you kind of seen how bad these orphanage camps are. But we were able to get in there and show the love of God in a practical way. We couldn't communicate with them. They didn't know what was going on. They were just lying in beds and deformed bodies, and it was heartbreaking. But as I said, in a practical way, we could pray with them. We could just give them toys. We could, it was an amazing experience. It was a humbling experience as well, and to be used by God and to be involved in the kingdom, and it was just amazing. And so after that, throughout the week, we went to different prisons. We went to a high security prison. Every prison we went to, we'd done an altar call. It was a simple gospel message, testimony, worship time. Every prison we went to, every single guy came forward to give their lives to the Lord. One of the prisons we went to, it was a high security prison. It was like two cages. In one of the cages, was prisoners in it who had no interest in coming into the meeting. It was like outside. The other one was with prisoners who came in and who were kind of interested. By the end of it, the other cage, the guys were silent. They were listening to every word. So we'd done an altar call. Me and my friend went to the other cage. And these guys were standing, holding hands with each other, crying. Do you know what I mean? Guys in prison just don't hold hands. Do you know what I mean? It's just, you just don't do it. And especially in Romania. And it was just, see the presence of God that was there. But I've never felt it before in my life. It was just awesome, It was like amazing. Guys crying, giving their lives to the Lord. Hardened criminals. Dan shared about it there. It's not about where you come from or what you did. God's looking to save everybody, do you know what I mean? And these guys it was just awesome. It was amazing, amazing time. And I get the chance to preach my first message there as well, in Hope Church. And it was amazing to be used by God to preach from His Word. 4 years ago, I was a drug addict, do you know what I mean? And to do that, it was just amazing. I'd done an altar call for healing. I preached on the bleeding lady in Mark 4:5. And there was people getting healed in the meetings as well. And the pastor's wife came to us as well and said that word was for me as well. And I'm just sharing this as well to encourage you that God can use anybody. God can use absolutely anybody. And halfway through my preach, I stopped and I was just so nervous. And I had to say, and I was an interpreter as well, so we were getting muddled up and it was hard to. And I just stopped. I said, I'm so nervous here, I need to stop. And it was people were, because I was honest, I shared with them. I can't do this without God, do you know what I mean? I'm just blown away by what he did in Romania. I'm just so blown away. And, God's moving. And Daniel said it as well, a practical side of it as well. We just step out, man, reach out to people, pray with people. I used to read these stories in the Bible. Lay hands on the sick and they would be healed and that. And I'm like, I've not seen it yet. And I've now seen it. I've witnessed it. And it's no different in this country. We have to step out as Christians. And I believe God wants to heal people. He wants to set people free. And I witnessed that in Romania. So, the Bible tells us to encourage each other daily. And that's what I'm doing. I just want to encourage you with the testimony for Romania. And that's it. Thanks very much.
Praise God. Amen. Isn't that great? Our guys there going out on mission. I call them our guys anyway because they are. Bless God. And part of our home. Part of us. Part of the family. It's great to hear and see what God has done. Yeah. Hallelujah. And there's yet much more.
Yeah.
Believe it.
Amen.
And press in and keep going forward. And Daniel, we just keep pressing in and we keep doing what God tells us to do, and we will see lives changed. We'll see the signs, the wonders, the miracles, the healing. Those are the promises that God has given to us. And we need to live in those promises every day. Amen. We have a healing Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you? I said we have a healing Jesus. Amen. I don't want you falling asleep on us. Glory to God. I get excited. Hallelujah. Can you see that?